This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
In the middle of that Rashi that we learned already, Umenasech es hayayin leke lemeimar sheniskoi beyayin nesech shezorak boi. Menasech does not mean that he threw Yain Nesech into a barrel of kosher wine. Deloy kamechasrei veloy midi, because in such a situation he is not causing any damage. Deho mazbin le bar midi me Yain Nesech sheboy, because it is mutter for the owner of the yain which has just been spoiled to sell it less the amount of the Yain Nesech. So if it's 100 liters of kosher wine and 1 liter of Yain Nesech was thrown in, the owner of the wine can sell all of the wine, but he can sell it at the price for 100 liters, and the 1 extra liter he has to give away as a bonus. And that is allowed to do, and therefore no financial loss has been incurred. Yeah.
Because he's able to sell
the extra for nothing, yeah. Says Tosfos Menasech, Pligi bo bahanizokin. In Gemara Gittin there is a machlokes. Chad omer Menasech mamish, v'chad omer ma'ariv. One view in the Gemara is that it's Menasech mamish, as Rashi holds, and one view in the Gemara is that it's mixing. So we already see a danger light flashing. Well, Harashi says that it can't mean mixing, and Tosfos says, but there are 2 days in the Gemara in Gittin. How can't it mean mixing? Depends on how you learn in Gittin. And yet Tosfos doesn't ask on Rashi. Tosfos doesn't pose it as a kasha on Rashi. He just makes the comment. So let's learn the Gemara in Gittin to start with. We're missing one or two people, aren't we? Who would that be? Ronnie Raff is away. Is there only one, Ruven? Anthony Yusuf, and Andrew is, of course, is not working out. That's it. And Dr. Schneller. Will somebody phone him? Eric, could you give him a ring? Do you have his number? We should put it onto our list. It's not impossible. It's not impossible at all. Try him. In any case, we should put his number on the list so people can keep in touch with him. Yeah. Please. Says the Mishnah, Hametame v'hamedamea v'hamenasech. Says Rashi, Hametame taharosov shel chaveiroi kegoyin truma. Metame means that a person causes a kohen's truma to become tome. V'hamedamea truma b'chulin shel chaveiroi. And a person who throws truma into his friend's chulin, u'mafsido, in that way he causes a loss. She'oisrei lezorim, because it becomes also for non-kohanim. But Sorich Lamechu Lekainim Bezol, so he's got a very limited market, and when you've got something that can only be sold to a limited market, the price goes down. V'hamenasech yain chaveirin, and the mixing of, and there to be menasech the wine of his friend, b'gemora mefareshla, the Gemara explains exactly what that case is. It says the Mishnah, b'shoigeg potur b'meizid chayv, a very strange thing. B'shoigeg yir potur b'meizid yir chayv. Now we know from Bolakame that in Nezikin, there's no chiluk between shogeg and mezid. We learn that from Petah Tachas Potter, that there's no difference between shogeg and mezid. And when it comes to Nizkei Momen, there's no difference even between oines and mezid. So why here is the Mishnah being mechalik between mezid and shogeg? Nagabi these three nizikin. Says the Gemara, Itmer we learned Menasech, Rav Omer Menasech Mamish, Ushmuel Omer Ma'ariv Ma'ariv. Rav says Menasech means that one takes somebody else's kosher wine and one serves Avodah Zorah with it. and thereby passes it. And Shmuel says, no, it doesn't mean that. It means you pour treifa wine into the kosher wine and passel it that way. Mandom ma'ariv, the Shmuel who says that it means mixing my time eloyo ma'manasich, why doesn't he say manasich? Amalecho, he would answer, manasich kamle bedrabimine. Because manasich you wouldn't be chayev for. If you take the wine and you perform avodah zorah with the wine, you chayev misa. So there's no chiyuv nezikin with manasich. Therefore, it must mean that you're pouring wine which is already yayin nesach and mixing it into the yayin which is not yayin nesach. The idich. So what does the other one hold? He holds kid Rabbi Yirmiya. The Omer Rabbi Yirmiya, Mishos Hagbol Hu Dekono. Rabbi Yirmiya says that he's koine from the time that he is magbia. So what happens? He lifts up his friend's wine and at that point he becomes the ganef and is chayef. And then he serves idolatry with it, that's when he performs the nezik. So it's at two different times, and as you remember from Ksubas, Kim Lebed Rabbi Minei does not apply if the event takes place at two different times. It's Chayev Ben Afshal Lehavi, Adshas Nisuch, and he's only guilty of death when he performs the Avodah Zorah. Ulaman Doma Manasech, my time Elohim Oma Ma'ariv. Good, so then according to one who says Manasech, why does Nisei say Ma'ariv? Answers the Gemara, Omalacha, he would say, Ma'ariv hainu medamea. Then what would be the difference between that and medamea? It's exactly the same thing. What is medamea? You pour truma into somebody else's chulin. What's the difference between that and pouring yayin nesek into somebody else's yayin? The edith. So what would the other one hold? Knosuhu umiknosu liyalfinim. Enachinami, they're the same, but they're knosis. And from knas, you can't learn one case to another. Knas is a chidush. And a knas is only on that particular case, and you cannot draw parallels in knosis. Why is it a knas? So let's go further down in the Gemara. Achiskia, which is just below halfway down, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Omar Chizkia. Dvar Torah, strictly speaking, Dvar Torah, Echod Shogeg v'Echod Meizid Chayev. Really, you should be Chayev even b'Shogeg. There's no distinction. Why is that you should be Chayev? In our case in the Mishnah, because Hezek She'eino Nikar Shmei Hezek. Even if the damage is not recognizable, it is considered Hezek. That is Chizkiah's view. This is a very classical machlokes. Chizkiah holds that even if there is no physical manifestation of the damage performed, nevertheless that's called nezek. In law, do you have a term for that? Damage which can't be seen. You make something unusable, but without any being able to see it. And it would apply, I imagine, to things like computers. If I came to somebody else's place and I put a bug in his computer.
Interesting.
So this was as far as customs and excise are concerned. You've wiped out nothing.
Software, what have you done?
Hillel, there must have been cases with this. There must have been cases with this.
They talk endlessly about pure patrimonial loss, which is where there's no physical damage at all. Now, in the word of the skeptic, pure clearly is a physical damage.
Something is lost.
The fact that it's difficult to see, or the equipment to see it may not even have been developed yet, doesn't mean that there isn't a physical. There's a distinction between that
and this,
and pure patrimonial loss, where you lose an opportunity to do business or whatever, or you.
So what would be held in law if a case like this? There. Leonard's got a few vats of wine, and somebody comes along, and. And he pulls in some yayin nesach just to cause a hepsit.
Well, I don't have any doubt that the ultimate cause of the fire is fire.
Because he has caused the damage. Yes. It would make no difference.
There's a real difference. There's a difference to them. And
It's a very difficult concept to understand in halacha. What Hillel says, I find, is logical. At the end of the day, the damage has been suffered. The question is, how direct is the damage? Is it an indirect damage or a direct damage? And the way that's evaluated is by seeing what is the object that has been damaged. With Hezek Shein Nika, it's a loss result from an action. It's not damage which has occurred. I think that's how the Hezek Shein Nika concept must be viewed. That a man has performed an action which has caused another man a loss. Nezek is something else. Nezek is, you've destroyed an object directly. You've destroyed my money, my property. You've damaged my property directly. Not I have suffered a loss as a result of an action which you have performed. You actually damaged. There's a conceptual difference.
This is somewhere in between.
The Yai Nezek is somewhere in between.
And a very strong argument for saying that there is a real damage. The fact that you can only measure it on the Yai Nezek Geiger counter is irrelevant.
There is a loss, but not necessarily a damage. The wine is just as good as it always was.
But it isn't.
It's not as usable as it always was. Its market has been restricted due to halachas which govern the gavras, not the chefza. The human being is not allowed because of a code of law which governs him. Certain people can no longer use this. But it's not because the wine, in as much as it is a physical object, has been damaged. Its halachas have been changed. In halachic, it's a fascinating concept. It is as a halachic concept, it has been changed. But as a material concept, it has not been changed. That's Yai Nesach. I mean, let's not even talk about the pouring. Let's talk about somebody who picks it up. Before Avodah Zarah goy, picks up the wine. Now that's another question. How much his losses are is another question. The question is that considered nezek? Assuming that he can prove his losses. Yeah, but assuming he can show loss. Assuming he can show enormous loss. If he's living in Eretz Yisrael and living in the middle of Bnei Brak and there's nobody there really likes Yai Nesek very much. Assuming a case where he can show loss. That's not the issue. That's another issue. How he'll show his loss. That's a technical problem. The problem in principle is, are we going to consider this as nezikin, or are we going to consider this as a consequential loss of an action of a human being?
But there's a difference conceptually, though, between taking...
Let's go further in the Gemara first. So Chizkiyah holds that it is nezik, but it doesn't matter whether it's nikar or not, that the concept of nezikin does not require the physical object to be changed. In that case, why is he potter b'shoigeg? That's the problem according to Chizkiyah. Umatam omre b'shoigeg potter? Kidei sheyodiyo. Because we want the person to tell him. So here a man has come and by mistake has caused his friend's wine to become yai nesach. If he's going to be chayev, he won't tell his friend. He'll just keep quiet. And his friend will end up eating yai nesach. That we don't want. We want him to come and tell the friend. And the only way we can do that is to remove the chiyuv of nezikin, so that he has no monetary loss in disclosing the fact that he's caused the wine to become Yai Nesach. Hihochi afilu b'meizid, nami. After Gemara said b'meizid, also we should make him potter. We want him to tell his friend also. He wants to damage his friend. What did he do with b'meizid? Why did he make his friend Yai Nesach? Because he wants to cause him a loss. Do you worry that he won't tell him? Of course he'll tell him. He's decided that it's worth his while. Of course he'll tell him. So when it's done b'meizid, the Chazal don't have to be Mesak in a Ptur so as to encourage him to disclose. But when it's done B'shoigeg, he has to be Potter in order to encourage disclosure. For Rabbi Yochanan Omer and Rabbi Yochanan is Cholek. Rabbi Yochanan says, Devar Teiro Echod Shoigeg Ve'echod Mezid Potter. Rabbi Yochanan says, really, in both cases, you're Potter. My timer, why? Hezek Sheina Nika, Loishme Hezek, because Hezek Sheina Nika is not Hezek. My time Omre B'mezid Chayiv, so why then? He's got the opposite kasha. If Hezek Sheino Nikir is Lav Shmei Hezek, then why B'mezid is Ichayev? Answers the Gemara, Shlo Yehe Kol Echol Ve'elech Ho'elech Ometami Taresu Shechavere. Ve'ome Poterani, just to stop people. It's a knas that the Chazal imposed in order to make sure that people won't use this as an ideal way of causing one another damage without becoming Chayev. That's the Gemara in Gittin that we need to know. And now, Tosfos' comment makes Rashi very difficult. And that Kasha the Ma'ashur asks, how can Rashi just dispense so casually with the shita of who's he dispensing with? Shmuel. Why? Where? Where the Rashi in the Gittin is different. Yes, what's the Shaila there? Yes, sure. Yeah, the Rashi in Gittin is no problem. That is the difficulty of the Maharsha on our Rashi in Bava Kamma. How does Rashi just dispense with the Shita of Shmuel, who says that it's Ma'ariv? And Rashi just says, no, it can't be Ma'ariv. If it were Ma'ariv, then Lo Kamma Chasre V'Lo Midi. How can that be? Ask the Maharsha, so what about Shmuel? How do you explain Shmuel? And how can you just decide? How can you just dispense with Shmuel in a way that the Gemara doesn't dispense with it over there? That Kasha asks the Maharsha and the Pnei Yeshua. So the Pnei Yeshua is what we're going to learn now.
You're very close.
You just need to refine that a little bit. You're very close. Ah, you get Siyata Dishmaya as well, you make a decision. See what happens. Everything changes. Once you've made a commitment, the Rebbeinu Shlom's on your side. Incredible. Changes the weather. Gives you the. Did you work on that yourself before, or does it just come to you now? Was that David's way while you were learning already? Tell me the truth. Did you start coming to that idea after you decided to give up your Sunday activities or before?
After,
huh? Incredible. Yeah, it's no joke. It's not funny. That's the Pnei Yeshua. In the Chavin to the Pnei Yeshua. You know, when you think about it, it's absolutely frightening. So think. I have no doubt, by the way, absolutely no doubt, that had you not made that decision, you wouldn't have had that Kabbalah. I have absolutely no doubt about that. So there you would have been on a hockey field today, because it would have been sunshine today. Had you decided not to come, there would have been no reason for the rain. So then it would have been sunshine. So there you would have been on the hockey field, playing hockey, totally oblivious to the fact that you had it within your curve to be mechaven to Pnei Yeshua. You're playing your hockey, we're learning our Gemara, and there on the hockey field is the one person in the whole shir who could have been mechaven to the Pnei Yeshua. What a tragedy that could have been. It's unbelievable. And how often that really happens. There are people in life, right now, this minute, people who could be mechaven to Pnei Yeshua, to Rabbi Kiveiga, people with unbelievable brains and fine in the shomers. You're all over the place, running around doing all sorts of funny things. Incredible.
We need to show a share about when the Rosha gets up there and sees how tiny that both the tzaddik and the Rosha cry.
Then how do you see how close it was, how tiny the difference is?
And the tzaddik sees how massive a mountain he managed to conquer.
Yeah, yeah.
About to cry.
Yeah.
I was quite amazed when he said that he even took it further.
Yeah. How further? What are you? You can speak for yourself now that you're here. There's another thing that happens in learning. I must warn you about the one thing you've now experienced. When you make a decision, then the Rebbeinu Shlom removes the ikuvim, removes all the hurdles away from you. There's another thing that happens when you get onto something good. It's incredible, and there's a moment at which you're actually amazed with yourself as to how good it is. And at that moment where one touches on a certain self-satisfaction, one loses it. That's how that happens in learning as well. So maybe I made you feel too good. says the Gemara, says the Pnei Yeshua, And I want to get on to Acham Ayin Sham Besugya. This is the end of the sixth line of the Pnei Yeshua. Acham Ayin Sham Besugya Yire Shedivrei Rashi Kenim Vamisi. Anybody who looks carefully at the sugya in Gittin will see that the words of Rashi are correct and true. Dehosom Omro Shmuel. Look, there's such a thing as Kenim V'Amitim. Isn't that an amazing thing? A thing can be correct and not true. And it can be true and not correct. Such a thing as Kenim V'Amitim. Sometimes a thing is true but it shouldn't be said. Then it's not Ken. And sometimes a thing is correct in the sense that it's fitting, but it's not Emes. The Yeshua says the Rashi here is both Kenim and Amitim. What he says is the Emes, and this is the right place to say it. It's fitting to say it here. The Hosom Omro Shmuel Amas Nisin Menaseich Umetameo Medameo Beshoigek Turin Bemezit Chayovim. There Shmuel goes on the Mishnah in Gittin, which is that a person who causes this kind of Hezek Shein and Nikah Menaseich Metameo Medameo Beshoigek is Potur and Bemezit is Chayiv Umefarish Shmuel. And as Shmuel explains, Menaseich Hayinu Me'ariv, that Menaseich means mixing it with Yayin Nesech. Va'akshule, and they ask on him, Hayinu Medameo. Surely that's Medameya. Umeshani, and Shmuel answers, or the Gemara answers on behalf of Shmuel, Knosso mi Knosso, Ilo Yalfinan, and Achinamit is Medameya, but they're both Knas, and you can't learn Knas from Knas. Ufirish Rashi, Shaman Rashi, then Gittin explained, Knas Mishum Dezek Shein Nikel Lav Shme Hezek. Adkan. Rashi explains in Gittin what is the reason for the Knas, as we learned ourselves further in the Gemara with the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that Hezek Shein Nikel is Lav Shme Hezek. And Shmuel, and that means really, but even b'meizid, you should be potter. Why are you chayev a knas to stop people running around and being metame each other's kodshim? And therefore, and Rashi on the top of the Omud says that Shmuel must be going b'shitas Rabbi Yochanan that hezek sheino nikir is lav shmei hezek. Ve'elohim divrei Rabbi Yochanan she'omar sham divrei Torah afilu b'meizid hezek sheino nikir lav shmei hezek. Elomid Rabbonin Chayev b'meizid. It's the Rabbonin who established the Chayev b'meizid. The Chizkiya poligalid Rabbi Yochanan, and Chizkiya is chaylik with Rabbi Yochanan. V'omar, and he says ad Rabbi Dvar Torah afilu shoyge chayovim. He says no, on the contrary, midvar Torah even shoyge you should be chayev. Why? Hezek sheinu nikir shmei hezek. Hezek sheinu nikir is hezek. And once it's hezek, there's no difference between shoyge and meizid. Vim kein kan muchech the Rabbi Chiya svirule kichizkiya v'Rabbi Yirmiya. Here we must say that Chizkiya that Rabbi Chiya holds not like Rabbi Yochanan but like Chizkiya and Rabbi Yirmiya. Sharei tani Rabbi Chiya shehem ovis. Rabbi Chiya holds this is one of 24 ovis. Umili the Rabbonin lo yishayach likroison ovis, and you can't call a Rabbonin an av. So it's clear that Shmuel, who says that Medamea and Menasech, that Menasech is an Av, must hold that Menasech is also Midoraisa. Elovare disvirulekhi Chizkiya, and the only way he can hold that it's Doraisa is if he holds like Chizkiya, the Hezek Sheinu Nikir Shmei Hezek. He must hold that Hezek Sheinu Nikir Shmei Hezek. Im kein avi dina v'li knaso. In that case, it's a halocha and it's not knas. It's dina Doraisa and it's not knas. And therefore we can't learn Menasech the same as Ma'arev. Because then we would have the Kasha in Gittin. So why? What's the difference between Menasech and Medamea? The only way we could answer the difference between Menasech and Medamea is if it was Knas, and we could say Knas and Miknas, lo yamrinin. But if you hold that it's not Knas, if you hold that it's Dvar Torah, then there is no difference between Medamea and Menasech. So you have to say that Menasech is not Medamea, it is not mixing, but it is proper avodah zorah. Deem kein kivan shevset ma'at haynu medameya v'tarti lamali. If it's a small loss that is caused, then it's exactly the same as medameya. And why do we do it too? V'lekeli shenuya knasa miknasa lo yafin endo mamayin ahavi v'duk. And you can't answer the way the Gemara does there, the knasa miknasa lo yafin endo, because we must be learning it's not knas, otherwise Rabbi Chiya wouldn't have included it in his list of ovis. And if it's not a knas, we can't say that it's the reason that you can't learn from one from the other is because it's knas. Therefore, you could learn one from the other. So we would have to make a physical chiluk, not just a halachic chiluk. We would have to make a physical chiluk between medamei and menasech, and we would have to say that menasech is actually an act of yai nesech and not ma'arif. So there is no other way that Rashi could explain our Gemara. Although in Bava Kama Taka there are 2 days, there's no other way that Rashi could explain. The Gemara in Gittin are 2 days. In Bava Kama there's no other way that Rashi could explain the Gemara. That's how he learns the Rashi.
And does he learn that in Bava Kama it's not knas because of the person?
Yes, yes. Because it's not knas because Rabbi Chiya lists it. That's all you need to know. Because what's the definition of an av? Mefurish b'toira. No, where's the knas mefurish b'toira? Comes from Rabbonin. That means midrabbonin. You potter. The Chizkiya says midraisa. You potter. The Rabbi Yochanan says midraisa. You potter. It's only midrabbonin that you chayv. That's not an av. Knas is midrabbonin. The Torah doesn't impose this knas. There are knasos deraisa as well, but this knas is not a knas deraisa. Yeah, but what did the Gemara say in Gittin? Dvar Torah, you would be potter. Omar, Rabbi Yochanan, Omar, how does it go there? Dvar Torah, echod shegeg veechod mezid potur. Midoraisa, you would be potur. My time is shenanika lo shmehezek. My time, omru be mezid chayiv. Shelo yeh kolechad veechod oilechem betameetz. The Chazal said that you should be chayiv. But then it's not an av. So it's clear from Rabbi Chiya that Rabbi Chiya must be holding lachizkiya. That's a knas of the Torah. That's a knas mentioned in the Torah. That's mefurish in the Torah. For where you are, yeah. For the Rashi explains always for the sugya where you're holding it. For the sugya where you're holding it.
Why doesn't Rashi say something to this effect?
Yes, you do know.
Instead, Rashi says something completely different, but it isn't
that. That's the Yeridus Hadoiris. Why did nobody before the Pnei Yeshua even ask the question? Before the Mashur even ask the question? What's the Dvarim shooting for them? As the Doiras go, it's necessary to talk things out which the earlier Doiras took for granted. That's why Rishon is so difficult to understand. Because he assumes certain things are clear in your mind. It doesn't enter his mind that it's even a kasha for you.
But he says something.
And that's why Tosfos doesn't ask it, that he takes it posh. But then it would be difficult why he brings both Shittas. No, I think it's more likely that Rashi, Tosfos learns the Gemara and Gittin different. The Yeshua bases his whole thing on the way Rashi says in Gittin that the knas being referred to is the knas of Chizkiya. It's possible that Tosfos would learn that the machlokes Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, that the machlokes Rav and Shmuel is not totally on the machlokes Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan. In fact, isn't there Tosfos that says something like that there? Yeah, look in Tosfos and Gittin that Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. He says, whether that goes on the whole sugi or only the particular thing that he's being mefarish, I don't know. But it's very possible that Tosfos has a different shita in Gittin, where he learns the two machlokes and has not tolerated on one another. That the whole thing goes alibud Rabbi Yochanan, and the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel is both alibud Rabbi Yochanan. If that is the case, then there's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos and the pshat in Gittin, which would make the difference over here. But according to Rashi's Pshat in Gittin, there's no way that he can learn Al Gemara any differently. If he learns Gittin differently, no. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. If he hasn't got a kasha, it's all fine. Not necessarily. It seems from our Tosfos that Tosfos can learn Al Gemara both according to Rav and Shmuel. It seems there is a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. The Tosfos can learn both of them, and you might look at that over the next week. Is go through the Tosfos in Gittin. You'll find it an easy Tosfos to go through, and see whether you can tackle find how go through the whole Gemara, and see whether you can tackle find the Tosfos learns that Gemara differently, which enables him to learn our Gemara unlike Rashi Ali with the Pnei Yeshua, in a way that both Rav and Shmuel can be accommodated in our Gemara. That's actually important, and we should do that.
It's a
Bisham. Yes, you've got to, you must look at the Tosfos. If you want to look at the sugya properly, you've got to learn that Gemara thoroughly with that Tosfos. With the Tosfos. And you'll probably find, I imagine that you'll find that you go through, I haven't gone through the Tosfos, but I imagine that you'll find that Tosfos has a different shita in Gittin. That you might not have picked it up if you didn't notice Rashi's shita. Now that the Pnei Yeshua has alerted you to the way Rashi learns Gittin, you'll be able to learn Tosfos through and see whether Tosfos learns Gittin the same way or whether he has a different shita in Gittin. Now there's another kasha on this Rashi. Let's be more just try to stop this piece of Chaim. Yeah. Just leave the door open so that you can hear the other kasha. The second kasha on Rashi is the following. I don't even know so much a kasha on Rashi. It might be a general kasha. It's a kasha of Rabbi Chiya. What does Rabbi Chiya say? One of the obvious nezikin is Manasseh. Yeah, it's a kasha of Lashitas Rashi. What does Rashi say Manasseh means? It means Ma'ariv. It means Manasseh Mamish. If it means Manasseh Mamish, what did the Gemara Gittin say? Why is there no Kim Lame Rabbi Mineh? Because he's over with Geneva the moment he picks it up. If he's over Geneva the moment he picks it up, then that's Geneva, it's not Nazik, it's not Medamea. The Nezik is the Geneva, the Nezik is not the Medamea, it's not the Manasseh. Was that your second kasha? That's from Shimon Shkop's kasha. You see, that the third thing that happens in learning is that when you lose that because your head gets swollen and you just lose what you were about, what you thought of, you get very modest after that. And as soon as you're modest, it comes back again. Right, so you've learned in one morning here, you've been through a lifetime of learning, you've been through years of what happens to a person in learning. Your learning has matured years in a short period. We know how he did it. He gave up hockey and he became like a man of 70 years old. So when you start putting on weight and going grey and your wife starts saying, you see, it's because you gave up hockey, you will say, Anachanami, but look what I gained. Look at the Chochma. I've lost the fitness of a young man and I've gained the wisdom of an old man. Just hold on to it still. Let's first get the card. Okay, hand it out. That's Reb Shimon Shkop's kasha. Isn't that a nice kasha? So why does Rabbi Chiya, according to Rashi, Bishlomo, according to Tosfos, where you can learn that the Isur is Ma'arev, I can understand how you can have Manasseh as a case of Nezikin. But if you're going to learn that the only way it can possibly be is Manasseh Mamish, that means you've got to lift it up. And we've learned in Gittin that the moment you lift it up, you're a Ganav, so he's lost already as a Ganeva. Now you're Manasseh, it's your own wine you're Manasseh, it's not his wine anymore that you're Manasseh. Now you're the Ganav. So why does Rabbi Chiya count Manasseh as an Av over and above the Av of Geneva? Right.
So maybe he has well.
Yeah, but what are you chayv? You chayv Geneva. The Av is the Geneva, not the Tzvichel.
You can't get his original object back.
You're close. You're very close. Very close to what you claim, so very close.
Isn't the primary obligation in Geneva to return the object?
If the object has not undergone a change, if the object has undergone a change, there's no obligation to return the original object. Then the obligation is just to return the money. That's how. Yeah, you're right. You're on the right track. Now there's a very important and classical piece of Reb Chaim Brisker which you've got in front of you. The whole Reb Chaim Brisker is important and very lovely, but I'm only going to do the part of it which directly affects us, which is in the in that first column, about two thirds of the way down the column. Achein Nira, there's a line that starts Achein Nira. It's about five lines above where I've underlined. Sorry. No. Reb Shimon Shkop only goes onto a whole lumdus of his own, which we're going to try and circumvent. Achein nire lefi mashe kosov harambam beferik aleph mehilchus geneva. The Chaim starts with the Rambam in Hilchus Geneva, which I couldn't find in Hilchus Geneva, Perek Aleph. But I think it's the way he learns Halacha Yudalad there. I think Rabbi Chaim has a way of learning that, which is different, that's where he extracts it from that Halacha, but I'm not sure, and I didn't have a chance to look into it carefully enough. But here he quotes this Halacha in the name of the Rambam. What is the Halacha? The begon of Kli Ushavore. A man broke a Kli and stole a Kli and broke it. So the obligation is now to repay money, not to return the pieces. And at the time of the Geneva, it was worth two, but at the time that he broke it, it had gone up in value. It was now worth four. The Mishal in Kefil Kishas Hashviru. The Rambam holds that you've got to estimate, you know, he has to pay carefully, he has to pay double, but double evaluated at what level? At the time of. Listen, in our kind of economic environment where the value of the rand is constantly changing, this is very lemaisa. Among the ganovim, all these ganovim that stole the foreign currency and so on, when are they going to evaluate how much they're going to pay? What the money is worth now, what the money was worth bishas ganeva? Here it's a little bit more complicated. He stole it and broke it. When is the moment that we're going to evaluate the chiyuv to pay? Because until he broke it, he could just have given the kli back. When does he become chayv the money? When he broke it. But when was the act of Geneva? Was when he stole it. So is the act, is the breaking, does that make him chayev manitruly lemafreya, retrospectively, from the time of the stealing? Or is that a new obligation which is created at the time of the Shiviro? That's the question here. So the Rambam paskins the Mishalim Kefil Kishas HaShiviro. You estimate at the time of the breaking, not retrospective to the time of the stealing. The e-itbe-me-mela, but if it just fell off the mantelpiece, there was an earthquake and it fell off the mantelpiece, then he only pays by the time of the Geneva. Very strange halacha. That means that it depends whether it was deliberately broken or it was broken by mistake. What difference should that make? You see from that Rambam, says Reb Chaim, this is a typical Reb Chaim extracting a yesoid of halacha from a detail of halacha. The principle is that the act of shaviro constitutes a maaseh geneva, which is an enormous chidush. That shaviro is geneva. The geneva was at the time you took it. Shaviro is just the condition which makes you chayev money. Says Reb Chaim, no, if that were the case, you should be chayev from the time of the maaseh geneva. So you see from there that the maaseh geneva is the breaking. Why? V'hainu mishum. That is, the reason is as follows: the chol shehachefetz gonuv oy gozul. As long as a person has in his possession a stolen object, kol nezek she'oyse beyodayim, any damage he effects on that object actively, din geneva gzeilo be, is furthering the geneva. That's a further act of geneva. So if somebody steals my car, that's an act of geneva. When he takes out the radio from it, or he breaks the window, or whatever it is, that's further geneva. The damage he's causing me is geneva, not nezek. If a person comes to my car and doesn't steal it, and he breaks the window, that's an act of nezek. It's nizke momen. But if he steals my car and then breaks the window, the act of breaking the window is further geneva. It's not nezek. Okay, that's how Reb Chaim wants to learn it. Vim kein, and therefore, af anu nilmad mizeh. We can also learn from this. The chol she'oso kinyan shel gezeilo. That as long as a kinyan gezeilo has been made, kigun meshicha or hagbo, a ganav does meshicha or hagbo, I'm stealing my car. Af shelo yoso zois l'shem gezeilo v'loy l'shum tashmish. Even if his intention was not gezeilo. V'rak kidei l'hazikre. So let us look at a person who wants to break the window of my car. Not because he wants to steal my car. He wants no benefit out of it. He just wants to cause me trouble. But he doesn't want to break the window of my car when it's parked outside my house, because I'll see him. So he steals my car, takes it away, breaks the window and brings it back. Just that I shouldn't hear the glass breaking. That's all he wants. He doesn't want to steal it. Nothing. He even puts in extra petrol to make up for the petrol. He doesn't even want to steal the petrol. He wants no benefit from it, whatever. All he wants is that the window should be broken. Mikomaku nase bezei gazlan. Reb Chaim is mechadish, he's still a gazlan, even though he didn't have the intention of stealing. The kiven de gam maise nezek mitstarif lehechoshev gezela. Since an act of nezek joins in to make it an act of gezela. In other words, there was a kinyan. He drove my car away. There was what was lacking, intent to steal. Then, while after having done the kinyan, he damaged. So he damaged it not in my possession. He damaged it in his possession. That makes then there is intention. Then the damaging joins together with a kinyan to make him a gazlan. The two together make him a gazlan. So if you just drive my car away with no evil intent at all and you bring it back, borrow it without asking, that doesn't give you the din of a gazlan. If you damage my car without driving it away, that doesn't give you a din gazlan. But the two together give you a din gazlan. If you drive my car away with the intention of damaging it in your own possession and then you return it, then you are a gazlan. That's the chiddush of Chaim. Okay, slowly. The yesoid dovaze nilmad mi menasech. And this yesoid is learned from the din of menasech. Look how a god learns a piece of Gemara. Deloy choshov legozloy. When he lifted the wine. Just look. Imagine how he learned that Gemara in Ezekiel, in Gittin. When he lifted the wine, the man is now going to be menasech. V'loili hishtamish boy. Why is he lifting that wine? Why is he magbia that wine? To drink it? No. To steal it? No. Only to make it yainesech, to damage it. U'mikoma kamarei mevua besugyeshom, demichi agbe kan yilis chayiv boimsin, dahinu chiyuv gzeile. That the moment he lifted it up, he's performed an act of geneva. Asks Reb Chaim, how can you become a ganav just by lifting up something which is not yours? That doesn't make you a ganav. There has to be intent to steal. And if there's no intent to steal, there isn't a ganav. And this guy had no intention to steal. Yeah. So the only way you can learn pshat in that Gemara is the ze shechoshev la'aziku la'osre ba'no ze gufe moyle choshev gezelo. That the intent to damage is constitutes an intent to steal. You're robbing him of value. So you're lifting it up in order to rob him of value. The kinyan agbo with the consequent act of nezek, the two together make you a ganav from the time that you lifted it up. And it would appear that in that case, even if we're going to say that when you steal a kli and you break it, lo yavi gazlan al maisa ashvira, the act of shvira doesn't make you a gazlan. V'rak maziku dahavi, that's only a mazik. Hainu rak de maise ashviro eno chashuva gzeilo, that is that the act of breaking isn't considered gzeilo. Aval ho mia lekula alme dahagbo sha'al menas lahazik, chashiva maise gzeilo. But there's no question that lifting it up with the intent to break it, then the lifting it up becomes a maise gzeilo. Uchada evena mehach de menasich. Now, there's a rider to all this, which Reb Chaim now introduces. Ela dehomio nir. However, there is a condition attached to this. Dechivan dechol hadin gezela. Since all the case of gezela, shebeloka chamanas lahazik, when a person removes something with intent to damage it, hu mitayme deharambam sheevenu, is for the reason of the Rambam which we've brought, mishum dechol nezek shebe gezela din gezela be. To damage the principle, the fundamental principle is that damaging an object which is in your possession, which doesn't belong to you, has a din of gezela. In kein lo yishayach zois elohecha the din mazik boy. That then it requires the condition that you have the din of a mazik. Aval hecha da nezik bo memele ve'in boy din mazik. But where you're not the mazik, in kein memele de leke din gazlan gam beetzem alekicha. Then the lekicha is not, you're not a gazlan even on the lekicha. So if you take something and you put it in your house, not with the intention of thieving, of stealing it, you take it with the intention of borrowing it, and it's on the mantelpiece and the earthquake comes and throws it off, that doesn't make you a gazlan. There has to be a maaseh nezek. You've got to be considered a mazik, otherwise you don't become a gazlan. And it comes out then that this case of where you've borrowed it or you've taken it with the intention to damage it, mikri gazlin, hu rak bilakocho shiyaziko hu. That's only if the intention is that he himself will cause a damage. But if a person takes it with the intent that there should be caused some indirect damage to you, in that way you're not called a gazlan. Then skip down a little bit, he brings the Yerushalmi. You don't have to skip down. He goes onto his own area. We can already apply it. What is the principle here now that we're going to say? The Rambam says, learning the Gemara in Gittin, Reb Chaim says, Reb Chaim asks a kasha on Gittin. How come you're chayev when you lift it up if your intention is not to rob? Answers Reb Chaim, but your intention is to damage. If your intention is to damage, then the lifting it up becomes a maise geneva, and that's why there's no kim levi d'rabba mina. If the intention is to damage, now what will be the din if Hezek Sheina Niker love Shmei Hezek? Then what would the din be? People say Hezek Sheina Niker love Shmei Hezek. Then you're not even a ganav. So, and if Hezek Sheina Niker Shmei Hezek, then your act of lifting it up makes you a ganav. So it is the menasech, it is the hezek value, it is, let's put it this way, it is now the fact that Rabbi Chia considers menasech as nezek that makes you chayev b'gneva when you lift it up. You follow what I'm saying? If it weren't for the fact that Menasech is a Nezek, then you wouldn't be Chayiv even Geneva. What did Reb Shimon Shkop ask? Reb Shimon asked, why is Menasech considered the Nezek? The moment you lift it up, you're Chayiv even Geneva. When you're Menasech, it's your wine, it's the Ganav's wine that is being Menasech. The Nezek has already been done. What we're answering with the Chiddush of Reb Chaim is no. That if it were not for the fact that Menasech is a Nezek, is Shmei Hezek, then the Maisa Geneva would not even be Geneva. So it's different from Geneva. Rabbi Chia counts Geneva, that's one. But he needs to count Menasech as a Nezek in order to be Mechayev Geneva for the case of Menasech. Otherwise he wouldn't be Chayev at all. Now that connection between the Reb Chaim and Rabbi Chia, that's Reb Shmuel Rizovsky's. So the Kasher is Reb Shimon Shkop. The Reb Chaim learns the Gemara in Gittin the way we've learned, but the brilliance here is not just the Reb Chaim is brilliant. Obviously, that's very typical Reb Chaim. You've just had an example. You need to work on this nicely. But you've just had an example of very, very typical Reb Chaim Lomdes. But what's especially brilliant is the using of this principle of Reb Chaim's to connect, to connect up Rabbi Chia, and to use that to answer Reb Shimon Shkop's kasha. And that's Reb Shmuel Rizovsky. Would come out according to this, it would come out that the chiyuv that he's chayav for is geneva. Because the fact that Menasech is considered a nezek, the fact that Menasech is, it's true that technically he can't be Menasech somebody else's wine without stealing it first, but the fact that if Menasech were not a nezek of its own, then there would be no issur geneva in the lifting it up. In the Haraya, according to the Maan d'Omer, that Menasech is Lav Shmei Hezek, he's not even Chayav Geneva. So it's a strange case, according to this, of an Av which you never Chayav for. But were it not for the fact that it was an Av, you would take never be Chayav. No, don't worry about Geneva.
No, I'll tell you why, because the Rambam says that unauthorized borrowing is Geneva.
That what is? In this sugya, there's no difference. There's a difference legabi kefil and knosis and all sorts of things, but legabi the maise, the kinyan, geneva and gzela, it's no different.
The Rambam says if you take something without permission, even if you intend to hand it back afterwards, that's considered
gzela. Shor amenas lahachzi.
Sure, it takes it without permission.
Shor shelo bereshus. A shor shelo bereshus is a ganavu. Yeah, but not in as much as says he'll be a ganav in as much as it's chayav for oinsin. So you're asking why is he a ganav if he has no intent to? Well, what the Rambam holds in such a case is that is intent to steal. He intends to use it. If he's taking it not with the intention of using it at all, then he's not a shoyl. Shoyl alman, a shoyl shelo b'rishus is a ganav because he takes the intent to use it, and that is ganav. But let's say somebody takes it without the intention of using it, just to cause you a consequential loss. That is not a ganav, says Reb Chaim. He doesn't have the dinayin. It's a klape shmai, of course. But in terms of Hilchas Geneva, he does not go through the kinyonim of Geneva. And therefore he's not chayv b'oinsin. That's how we'll have to take that. No, I don't have it here with me. It's just a line. It's just a line, really. It won't help you much. I don't know, the guy said, look, you look around. This is the important thing is to know the Reb Chaim, because the Reb Chaim is a classical Reb Chaim, which applies in many cases in Nezikin. This you saw, it is something that we'll use over and over again in Hilchas Nezikin. The Reb Chaim one needs to know, and there's no other way to understand the Gemara in Gittin. You saw it once. That's also so typical of Reb Chaim, that when you finish it with the Brisker Rov, is not like that. When you finish with the Brisker Rov, it's still brilliant. The whole thing remains brilliant. When you finish with a Reb Chaim, you can't understand why you didn't think of it yourself. It's a different kind of lomdus. Okay, that's the end of Menasech. So what we've got on the sugya is the Rashi, the Kasha of the Maharsho, which you can see inside, the Pnei Yeshua's teretz to the Kasha of the Maharsho, the Kasha of Reb Shimon Shkop, and the Yesod of Reb Chaim to answer that. Next week we'll the next shiur then will be Thursday week, yeah.